Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
While we're all standing, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you truly made us glad in our heart. Father, glad to receive life eternal. Father, glad to receive the many wonderful blessings that you have given and have in store for us. Father, you've truly made us glad to know that you've taken us out of the bondages of death and the clutches of sin. Father, we thank you, Father, for eternal life, life more abundant. Father, we ask you, Lord, to minister here this evening. Have your way. Father, as we surrender and submit our spirits, our hearts, our thoughts, our ways unto you, Lord, with great expectations, Father, we thank you. Father, with great expectations to hear from the spirit world, Father, this evening, great expectations, Lord, of you in the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you. Amen. We're going to read some scripture here. I'm in the Gospel of Mark. Let's just go to the beginning of the second chapter and we'll read a little bit here. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God." If you follow down through the whole chapter 2 here of Mark, you'll find that the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that he had critical spirits in a continually among him and continually around him. Many times numbered as the Pharisee. A Pharisee spirit is very prominent today. In this day and hour, we'll find that same spirit that continually warred with the Lord Jesus Christ, God with us, the Son of God, walking among the earth, among human flesh, being God with us in the flesh, the manifestation. And he was dealing with these spirits. And what we have to do many times is we got to rend the veil of the personality of the Lord. We got to rend the veil of the people, the Pharisees, and find out that we're still speaking about a manifestation of spirits. We're speaking of spirits manifesting incarnate within human instrumentality, or within human genes, we may say. And we find these things very present in our daily lives, brothers and sisters. And if you would learn to watch and judge things by the Spirit, you would find it in your own ministry, in your own walk of life, when you're working or helping people or doing whatever you can, when you're trying to help your own families, when you're trying to do whatever you can to help people or do for people or to show the love of God, you will find these things. Well, you can't do that. You're just a mere man. You can't do that. Or, you know, and this is a continual problem that we have as ministers, a continual problem as you have as Christians, is you cannot do that. And the Bible says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And there are many things that we can do that many people do not exercise the gifts of God within their life, or exercise the authority of the Holy Ghost and the power of God in their life over certain situations and complications in life. And they don't exercise them because of a Pharisee spirit within their own thoughts and within their own life, saying that they cannot. You know, when we go again and considering the Word of God and considering the Scriptures, and we think of, as we ponder, or as we look or try to understand in the Word, and we find that here they're speaking about the forgiveness of sins. And they found fault with God Himself as He walked among men, saying that there you cannot forgive sins. You know, it said that it's only given to the Son of God. Well, the Bible says that we are the sons of God. And the Bible teaches us that by the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the power of God given to each and every one of us, that we have that very ability, brothers and sisters, to remit, and the Bible also says to retain sin. You see, the Bible teaches us in by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary and what He done, that we can absolutely, by the laying on of hands and by prayer and by the authority and power of the Holy Ghost, that we take a man to the water hole in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And if the remission of sin is not remitting of sin, then what is it? That's the whole purpose, because without the remission of sin, you cannot have salvation. And without the remission of sin, you cannot have eternal life. And without eternal life, you're none of His. So the thing is that the authority within the earth given to the ministry of God by the Holy Ghost is for the remission of sin to people. That's the purpose. And the last thing that the Lord Jesus Christ commissioned man to do is to go into all the world, baptizing them in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Sin is the enemy of God. Sin is the sting of death. Sin is in its fullest, and its thing is a separation from God. It is a transgression of the law. So it would be very offensive to people that are unskilled and uneducated in the Word of God to hear such a thing as this, is that you, being a mere man, think that you would have the power in the earth to remit sin? Well, let me tell you like this. Me, as a mere man, by the power of the Holy Ghost, have been crucified and died and no longer live. So me, as a mere man, has been crucified with Christ by faith, being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And by receiving of this faith from the spirit world, have taken and declared this man to no longer live, because no man has ever seen God. So the man has died, and then we become the sons of God. This is what the Bible says the power of the Holy Ghost is, to give ye power to be the sons of God. So then once we receive this power to become the sons of God, the only power within the earth to remit sin is the Son of God. So then the Bible said that Jesus, being the firstborn of many brethren, which He is the Son of God, and we being first, He being the firstborn, and we become the sons of God by the power of God, and we become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, and then we go about His business to remit sin. Amen. So the thing is that when you find a resistance to that kind of teaching, then you find that you are susceptible to the very same spirit that was right here that was warned against the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked among men. So then what we find is that we have got to deal with that spirit and find out if we would ring the bell between the Lord and the Christ within our own life. Within that spirit of Christ dwelling within, and that Sadducee or Pharisee spirit of the first birth dwelling on the outer members and our outer thoughts with all of our intellectual understandings and all of our religious studies, that is the enemy of God. And what we've got to do is we've got to learn to abolish the things of that. We've got to learn to kill away, mortify the deeds which be of the flesh, of the fleshly mind, and fleshly thoughts, and kill those things out, that we could know who we are and the authority that we have within the earth. Now, can I as an individual remit sin without the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Without the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would be mere man. Without the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would have been no resurrection and no atonement for sin. Without the bloodshed of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no salvation. So the thing is that because of what Jesus done, That's why it is what I'm speaking about is impossible without a Savior. He is the Savior. He is the Savior. He is the salvation. And He is, Bible teaches, the shepherd, the chief shepherd. And without Him, none of these things are possible. But because of Him and what He's done, and because, just as when He spoke to that Roman centurion, and He said that He had been given this authority through the Roman government, and it says whatever He speaks to one, that they would go and fulfill whatever He said. And He spoke to the Lord Jesus. He said, "You have the authority, you speak it, and I know it will be done." He said, "No greater faith than that have I seen in all of Israel." Because he understood the delegation of authority. Now, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ done, the authority has been delegated to you as the children of God by the Holy Ghost, the power of God, and has been given to a many-membered body that we could fulfill the works of the ministry and the works of God within the earth for the power of the remission of sin. So, how is this power work within the earth today? It works in no other name but Jesus. There is no other name under heaven, but according to the Scriptures, that has the authority and the power to remit sin. There is no other way, there is no other name. Now, so then if we understand that the authority and the power is in the name of Jesus, then we just simply exercise that wonderful name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And we would say nay and yea. Because we find out, as we look back into the Scriptures, the seven sons of Sceva, when they found out that they had the power and the authority to exercise over the spirits of witchcraft and over these fallen spirits, that they had the power and the authority to exercise, using the name of Jesus, to exercise again the authority over spirits, over these spirits that had many people in bondage and afflicted many. And we found out that they tried to use that same name, and the Spirit spoke back forth to them and said, "Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you?" So there's a matter of not just utilizing a name. I find many Christian people in this day and hour exercise or want to use the name of the Lord Jesus. They want to prophesy. They want to do many things. But they've never really been infilled with the Spirit of God, that when they exercise that name, that there is an authority and power with that name. Many times we've ministered and we spoke upon this, that there has to be an exercising of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God within your life that gives authority to the words that you speak. When one man could speak the word to somebody and they're speaking it through an intellectual retention of the Scripture, and they speak the word to somebody, it doesn't really have no power or have no effect to them, even though the Word is the power of God and the power to salvation. But many times it's spoken and it's just a vibration that goes forth. But when there is an authority of the Holy Ghost as a man being full of the Spirit of God and he speaks the Word, then the Word is anointed, the Word has strength, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul from the spirit, even the bones from the marrow, and the intents and the thoughts from the heart. So what we find is when we understand the exercising of the Holy Ghost within present-day life, within this very day and hour, we find that the same thing, Him being the same Spirit that dwelled within the Lord Jesus Christ, that raised Him from the dead, will dwell within you and give you the power and raise you up from the dead and change you from mortal into immortality. So we find, brothers and sisters, that when we think of the Holy Ghost within the earth today, it's the same. You see, the Bible says that if not to be alarmed when they hate you, because it said they hated Him first. And He says that because they hated Him first, that they will also hate you. So that we find the same spirits that when Jesus walked here among the earth, among men, with the Christ dwelling within, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost, that same Spirit dwelling within Him that dwells within us today. And when we yield our members to the Spirit of Christ, we find the same Spirit manifesting in this day and hour, speaking forth the same things, seeing eye to eye, not piercing each other through nor breaking rank. So we find that same Spirit, and we find the same fallen spirit of the sons of perdition, that same Antichrist Spirit, where the Bible says many antichrists within the earth. We find that same antichrist spirit, brothers and sisters, speaking forth and going forth to doing the very same thing. And you'll find that people that are carnal-minded is taken into the captivity, the carnal mind, at the will of Satan. So we find people that are carnal and worldly-minded and fleshly-minded with the cares and loves of the world, that their mind is taken into captivity by Satan. And when we find Satan utilizing that mind, you'll find the same things that went forth in the same adversary that the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with when he went here. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You cannot do that. You can't do that. People in this day and hour, they say, who are you to say that you're perfect? It's not I that says that I'm perfect or I that says that you are perfect. It is the Word of God that says that the Lord Jesus Christ has perfected you once and for all by the works of by His works at Calvary. So you see, even though that you'll find their spirits coming back at you, or you'll find that same kind of thing, it's because they have not seen into the third heaven, have not seen good when good comes, and they haven't understood the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the earth as that atonement and that sacrifice. And when he said it was finished, and it wasn't something that he left partly undone or something that he left to be made manifest some 2,000 or 3,000 years later, made some kind of thing for it to be manifested later of what he'd done. He made a show over the enemy at the time there at the cross of Calvary. He made a show over him in the resurrection as he came forth, showed the power of the Holy Ghost present within the earth in that day to overcome the sting of death and overcome the works of darkness right there. So that same power has been given to us, him being no respecter of person, again, him being the firstborn of many brethren, and we receiving that same spirit, the Bible said, within him without measure, even though it does come to us in measure. Brothers and sisters, it was in the Lord Jesus without, and we have it in measure, but we exercise the gifts of the Holy Ghost that has been freely given to each and every one of us with no respecter of person. As we exercise the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost dwelling within our lives, and the power of that, then we increase in measure through the transformation of mind by renewing our mind into the Word and into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. So by the studying of the Word, or studying to show ourselves approved, the workman who need not to be ashamed of this Word of God, as we press into this Word, into the things of God, then there's more given unto us, and we have a greater understanding, and that much given, much is required. And the thing that is required of us is the body, being that living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. And then as we press in by the Holy Ghost, by the power of God, not by the merits of the flesh or by the deeds of the flesh, but by the Spirit exercising dominion and authority over the carnal or fleshly part of that first birth, then we find Christ still living and dwelling within the earth today. And when we find Christ living, we find Christ dwelling. He's about the Father's business, which is doing good to them that despitefully use you, going around doing good, doing the things that the Lord Jesus Christ done. So you say, what did he do? He remitted sin is what he done. As when he ran across the people here, he remitted sin. What do we do as a minister of God? What do we do as the Christians here that fellowship in the Word? We take and indoctrinate people into the Word of God, and we teach them that it is important. The very most important thing that we teach and indoctrinate people into is the necessity of the remission of sin in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we find that many rejected and many reject the doctrine of salvation through the remission of sin in Jesus' wonderful name, even though they use his name in so many other things and other ways, they still reject it, and they will fight with you over the things of understanding and bringing the scriptures into the present day application and present day. So as we read here in Mark, we find that he's up against complications and many things. He said, isn't it easier, or just as easy, to say to rise up, or to say that your sins are forgiven? You see, brothers and sisters, if Brother Rob takes an individual and he says, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are remitted, and baptizes them. You see, and we exercise this. When were those things done? And when were they remitted? One would say when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary is where it was. But according to the scriptures, it was before the foundation of the world that their name was put down in the book of life. So what we do as a minister is fulfill the word of God. And we take these people just as it was before the foundation of the world, knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ came in a flesh and tabernacle, and he came and dwelled among men, made himself lesser to come and walk among men, even though it was in the foreknowledge of God and prophesied in the Old Testament of him coming into this world, but there still had to be a fulfillment and a manifestation. As you go and read through the Gospels, you'll see a fulfillment of prophetic utterances that went back through the prophets of old, through the prophets of the Old Testament, and they're saying these things were prophesied and these things had to be fulfilled. Just as there's things to come across Jerusalem, come across America that are prophesied in the Word of God, saying that these things will come to pass, and most definitely you could count on it. You could count on it with everything that you have. If you considered yourself a gambling individual, this is the kind of thing that you would probably want to gamble on, because it's a for sure thing. It isn't by chance, it isn't coincidence, or it isn't maybe. It is absolutely thus saith the Lord. The things that are written within the scriptures, the things that come to pass in the Lord Jesus Christ were had to be, and they had to be that way. And the things coming on America, the things coming on the Middle East are absolutely factual, brothers and sisters. They've got to be. We see the seasons changing and the times changing, and we see the Palestinian people. We find these people in the Middle East there, and we find the turmoils and the uprisings taking place there, and we will find that these Arab countries coalition together because it is prophesied in the Word of God, brothers and sisters, and there is going to be upheaval and an uproaring that takes place over there, and they're going to try to do everything they can to trample the Jews completely out and to put them completely under. You know what's sad to say? There's people here in America that don't like the Jewish people. And the Jewish people have been known to be a haughty people. And they haven't been a people that's reckoned of such a way. And there's people that dislike, and they think that if America would drop a big bomb over there and just take them all out, that we would be far better. But they don't understand. They don't understand that we're going to stand, that we as the children of God and the Christian people will stand with the Jewish people, because they're being the elect of God. And knowing that they're the elect seed of God, naturally speaking, and we'll stand with them, and God will turn favor back to his people. Even though that they were cut off, for you could be grafted in and added in. Again, that wild tree by nature. They were cut off for that you could have life, but you can reckon one thing for sure, that they will turn back to those Jewish people. We see now, they call it the wings of an eagle. As we find it even prophesied in the Old Testament, but they're sending monies and finances and these things, and the Jewish people are coming back into their homeland, and it started coming in right after the World War II. And they started coming in after they got the throne of David back, or the city of David back, I should say. And the people have been coming back in. They just set up there. We went in and interred some of them while we're there. That, I think they call them kibbutz. And there are camps and places where these people like would be like refugees coming back into that country. The reason it's happening, because it's prophesied in the Word of God that this is what's going to take place, and they're coming in and it's setting up. And I heard a report many, many years ago, and then I heard another report that the report was untrue. But they said that there through the Valley of Megiddo there and around the area that there was these vultures, and they've got a bird there. It's an eagle called a griffin, and it would be somewhat what we would even call like a vulture that we would find here in this country. And they said that these have been coming back in and migrating into this area. And it was many years that they left and they weren't in the area. And they said that they'd come into this area and they'd been nesting there. And they said that the rate of growth over this particular bird and these birds was phenomenal. And you see, the Lord would have his way. It says it takes 7 years to clean the place up after this great tribulation period that goes across upon the land there. And it's not going to be something that's just felt there within what we say the Middle East or just there within. It's going to be a global thing. It's going to be a global war, just like what we could say is World War III. You say, why do you say these things? Is it to scare you? Is it to fear you into serving God and living for God? If I thought that I could do that, brothers and sisters, I most definitely would. I've seen people get shook up from automobile accidents. I've seen them get shook up from loss of companions. I've seen them shook up from the loss of children, shook up from the loss of families, or shook up because of tragedy and tragic things and devastation and health and many things, and try to come and shake them up to serve God. And yes, many times it does bring a temporal repentance or a temporal change or a will worship in many times. But let me tell you something. If you are His, you will hear His voice. And if you have His Spirit, you will draw unto the things of God, and you will hear the Spirit of God as the Spirit of God speaks to the church according to the Scriptures. So I don't believe it's going to be anything of fearing somebody, but these are things as the children of God that we should know, should understand, and should comprehend, for these things won't come upon us like the Bible said is unawares. That we could watch and we could see the signs where the Lord spoke in the Scriptures there, and He said, ye hypocrites, you could judge the seasons, or you could judge the weather by the signs in the sky. If the sky be red in the morning or the sky be red in the evening, you could judge the weather. And He said, you hypocrites, can't you judge the things of the signs of the times, the things that is coming upon the people of America or the people of this world? We should be able to discern and be able to judge those things that are happening. One would say, but Brother Rob, we've heard these things cried out. I've heard them from when I was a little child. I've heard this, you know, man, we're at the end. Well, you could say one thing for sure, we're that much closer than now. And many people, as a man came to Brother Pike and said, Brother George, he said, I watched the calendar flop around on my thing and it stopped at 1995. And he said, I believe the Lord has shown me that's the end of the world. And Brother George made some comments on what the man had seen, and it was the end of the world for that man. He went out in 1995. It was the end of his days. You see, the Bible said worlds without end, but then yet we find that people are coming to an end. So we find that when we say worlds without end, we find all different kinds of worlds. And when that breath goes out of your lungs in that little world that you were living in, knowing that what we say natural is gone, it's done, it's over, and it's all done away with. But there is a spirit life dwelling within that flesh and tabernacle. If you are born again or if you are not born again, there's still an eternal spirit dwelling within that flesh and tabernacle, and that is an eternal spirit. And it could be an eternal spirit of death and damnation and destruction and torment, or it could be an eternal spirit of life and life more abundantly and joy and peace that surpasses all understanding with the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing it is for sure, it is an eternal spirit. When we say that we're seeking after eternal life, all have got it in either the perverted form or one way or the other, or in the true genuine reality of life abundantly in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be coupled with Him, reckoned with Him, and all the glory and honor goes to Him. There will never be a day we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ full of boast. Standing before Him boasting of, boy, bless God, I preached so many sermons, or bless God, I fed so many hungry people. There will never be those days when we stand before the Lord, we lay all of our crowns down at His feet, and we lay everything down, because anything that you've done that would be numbered as good, all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praise goes unto the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that there's none good, not even one. And the thing is that if there's any good thing coming out of you, it's just through will worship and reflecting the goodness and the love of God, or it's because you're full of His Spirit and you have His Spirit and you're doing it out of the goodness of His Spirit and the kindness and the compassion and the love of God that dwells within you. And believe me, if He's dwelling within you, you will come away from the things of jealousy and envy and strife and all of those things that dwell within and manifest within the things of the flesh. You will come away from those things and you'll have a heart after God, a heart after charity, a heart to help and do good about those that even take advantage of you and speak all manner of evil against you. You will try to do everything that you can to help them and to do good to them. Amen. Look for opportunities again, brothers and sisters, to exercise Christ within your life. Let Him live, rule, and reign within your mortal genes, that He could be glorified and magnified, and people will be convicted for their sins that they live and walk in on a daily basis and come to know God as their true, genuine Savior. Amen. So again, as we look here into the Gospel of Mark, and we read here, and we find these struggles that the Lord Jesus ran across there dealing with the people, we find that if He is alive within you today, amen, we think that He died that you could live. We think that the Lord Jesus came and gave His life that you can have life. So then now that you come and die, You come and give your life on the cross of Calvary so that he could live. So now that this life that you're now living within the flesh and you're living this by faith in the Son of God, that he could dwell within that mortal body of yours. And it could be no longer you living, but him living. So if he's alive, then he's about the Father's business. Because according to the Scriptures, that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And whatever he did then, he will be doing today. Doing the one and the very same thing. Not looking for what's good for him, but what's good for others. And when you're finding that you're seeking after the good for others and the best and the well-being of others, you'll find that he'll be looking for what's best and good for you. Seek after the other's family unto salvation. Seek after the other, the mothers and fathers' children, to love them and minister to them and help them while God's seeking after your own. And leave it to God. If a prophet's without honor in his own land, then you'll find that you, being a child of God, will be without honor within your own household. So seek after the others. Seek after them and let God deal with them. And God will, most definitely, when he sees and your family has seen that you as their son or you as their daughter or you as their brother or you as their sister, you as their aunt, you as their uncle no longer live, and the attributes that they knew after your first birth are all diminished and gone away, and all of the things that they saw within the characteristics of your family are gone and they're no longer manifest within your life, and they see the goodness of Christ within your life, that's going to be what convicts them of sin. Then it's not longer you being without honor within your own household. All of a sudden, Christ brings the honor within your household, and they see God living and dwelling within you. And there's something different about you, and that draws them and compels them to the cross of Calvary when they see that you're taking and mortified the deeds of your flesh and see that you've been crucified with Christ. Then all of a sudden, they're convicted of their sins. All of a sudden, they are finding themselves in a place of knowing that God is a real and God is alive. You see, the resurrection, they understood that God was alive because he came forth. They knew that there was something different. And when he resurrects in your dead works and out of your flesh and vessel, that earthen vessel, and when he resurrects and comes alive then they will be moved and they will be convicted of their sin. And then you will be one known, as what the Scriptures say, ye that win souls are wise. And the Bible says that there's many saviors, speaking in plural, as saviors. And you become a savior because you're one with the one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, but a many-membered body, and you become as a savior unto your own household by pressing into the things of God and manifesting the attributes and the love of God within your life. And then salvation will be granted unto them because they've seen you crucified in this present day and hour. Amen. I hope that you can understand that, because that most definitely, brothers and sisters, is the only reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came, and the most important thing that you could come to understanding within your life is why that the necessity of saviors being made manifest within the earth today in this present day and hour. And it is not longer again, no longer you living. According to Galatians, the second chapter, the 20th verse, it is no longer you living, but now it is Christ dwelling and living within that mortal genes or within that mortal body. It is Christ manifesting within the flesh and no longer you living. And him being made alive in this present day and hour. And he is still the Savior of humanity. And you will find yourself seeking after a place to be made known. See, Jesus knew that he had to go to the cross. He looked and sought after the time of these things being fulfilled. And when you are full of his Spirit, you will be looking, brothers and sisters, for the opportunity to be on the cross of Calvary in this day and hour. You'll be looking for that opportunity to say, Lord, it's no longer me living, but it's you. You'll take the opportunities to take the smiting upon the cheek, the plucking of the beard, the thorns being crammed over your head. Yes, it'll be very painful to you today, just as it was to him then. Yes, it'll rend, just like that sword piercing in his side. It'll rend your heart in many times, and you'll feel as your blood is running out of your veins. And it would appear that the ones that you seem to be taking this for do not care or love God. And it would appear to be as you would feel the punishment of the nails being driven within your hands. It would seem that the ones would be mocking and laughing even as they do it to you. But if you'd be as silent as a lamb going to the slaughter. And you do that, there's going to be something. Just as the Roman centurion at the foot of the cross said, there's something different about this man. I've shared with you many things of crucifixions within my walk with God over the years, but I remember as one man where I knew that I had to conquer anger within my life. I knew that there was something within my first birth that says, why would I let somebody walk on me? Why would I let somebody mock me? Why would I let somebody spit in my face? And I mean literally. And you say, why? I could exercise manhood that I am. Bless God, I'm a man just like he's a man, and we'll show him what a man is. I could have rolled with him out in the gravels. I could have done that. And I've been guilty of that in times past, even after I confessed Christianity. But I went as that lamb to the slaughter. And as that man came down through time, others that were in the background watching this thing happen came to understand the Lord Jesus Christ, came to church with me. Several, numerous men came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because I was being crucified on a job and I kept my mouth shut. And it brought them to a place of repentance. Even to the very man that was doing the hideous acts came to me at the end of this job in such a way that his spirit was broken. And I believe in my heart today that that man's a Christian because I was going through the cross of Calvary. You understand that, brothers and sisters? And you say, well, you think too highly of yourself, Brother Rob. You're bringing salvation into a present-day thing and thinking that you have to do something for people to have salvation. If it isn't that way, I want somebody to come help me and explain to me why God called a fivefold ministry. You tell me why God called a fivefold ministry and sent the Holy Ghost back into the earth. If it isn't for some reason that there's something that we have to do. And then you're going to have to tell me why the last thing that he spoke here upon the earth, that we see that ascending, when he said to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And he told us to baptize them in the wonderful name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Then you're going to have to explain to me why he gives the nine gifts of the Spirit and the ministry for the fulfillment of perfecting the saints for the utilization of the ministry. So as you see, if you would understand what God done and get out of your religious hypocrisies and quit looking back 2,000 years ago and solely doing that and forgetting about present-day application of God living and manifesting today, then you'll get your eyes open and find out that today is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is now, and the kingdom of God is at hand, and the kingdom of God is at present, because that's what the Bible says, and you will quit looking back to a crucifixion 2,000 years ago, and you will quit looking into the future and thinking of some great things, and you'll see that God is alive today, and he's in the affairs of your life today, and he loves you today, and he's helping you today, he's blessing you today, and he's giving you life abundant today. You see, this is for us today, brothers and sisters. Don't let Satan rob you and make it futuristic or past tense. It is today. The blessings of God are here for you today. Amen? So, are you going to contest that Jesus is God? Are you going to contest that he was the Son of God? And you say, but then yet he went through the suffering. He went through the agony. He went through the pain. And the Bible said greater. You know, speaking of this eternal life, it is so far surpassed the things of this present suffering, the Bible says, that these things will absolutely mean nothing. Think of a woman in travail with a child. And when the woman is in the travail with this child and in labor and pushing to bring forth this child, she is in pain and misery and agony, and she is just almost full of this wrath within her. But then after the child's brought forth, she looks and all that is forgotten. And all of the pain and the suffering and the agony of bringing forth the Christ child present in this day and hour will be forgotten. There won't even be a thought of all of those things when you perfect the things of Christ dwelling and living today in this present hour. So what we say is we find that there's a natural, a physical and a spiritual world. And we find that we bring these things into fulfillment. We go into the spiritual realm. And we can say this, that yes, Jesus paid the price once and for all of us, and were perfected once and for all by his works at the cross of Calvary. And we can stand and glorify him and knowing that our name is in the books of life, not by works of anything that we do, that we're saved by grace because of his kindness and His grace and His mercy, His compassion, His love. So my salvation isn't because of these works. My salvation isn't because of what I do here. My salvation is because of what He done. So we're talking about being sealed in by the Spirit. But everything I was speaking about today wasn't for me. Everything I was speaking about is me understanding who I am in Him. And these are the things I got to do for others. Jesus didn't come to the earth, brothers and sisters, that He could have eternal life. Jesus didn't come to the earth that He could prove that He was the Son of God or the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knew who He was. He had all understanding. He came to the earth that you could understand and have life in Him. So the thing is once I become full of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, and I come and I go through the persecutions, the tribulations, and the sufferings, isn't to perfect me into the ministry. It is that others could see the good works of Christ within my life and see those things that they could come to salvation. The cross of Calvary wasn't for Him, and the crosses that you go through isn't for you. It's for others could have life. And that's why it says, ye again, ye that win souls are wise. So if you have that kind of wisdom and understanding, then you're going to go through that because you're concerned for a lost generation and lost humanity, concerned for lost family members and concerned for the lost. And the only way that they will find salvation is by seeing a present-day application of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You could talk about Jesus being crucified and the things He done, and yes, the Spirit of God can convict their heart. And the Spirit of God will deal with their hearts, but I will say this for sure. When they see it manifested in this present day and hour, the power of the cross within your life, that will be the thing that brings you from not just having a form of godliness and denying the power, it brings the power alive in this day. And that is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost in this day. The Bible said that a man could roll over many things. He could take that little rudder and guide a big ship, put a bit within that horse's bridle, and he could take that and guide that big animal, a lot bigger and heavier and stronger than he is, and he could guide it wherever he goes. But it talks about that littlest member and within that body, that littlest thing, and if he could tame that, if he can get control of that one little member, then he can control his whole spirit. He can control his whole thing. So what is it when we go to the cross of Calvary and Jesus went silent? This is why we go silently. And when people see that, they recognize the demonstration of the power of God, because man cannot do that within himself. Man is one to retaliate. Man is one with vengeance. Man is one with wrath within. All of the things of anger and bitterness and all of those things. When you find that your companion, your wife, or your husband has always got this bitterness dwelling within them, and it's always so easy to rise up, and you always have to walk so soft-footed around them, and they're always looking to fire, always got something to say, it's because the fruit of the flesh is still alive and it's still dwelling there, and it's something that has to be killed and something that has to be crucified and something that has to be done with. There should be soft answer that turns away wrath. There should be the exercising of the spirit of godliness and holiness coming forth, and you'll find peace and tranquility. You'll find humility. You'll find those attributes of the Spirit of God dwelling within the home. Amen. So what do we look for, brothers and sisters? We're looking for opportunities in each and every one of us to exercise the manifestation of the Holy Ghost within our lives, that Christ could live and Christ could rule and Christ could reign on the earth today. And when we do that, then we become, according to the Scriptures, as saviors. Amen. And the Bible, again, as I quoted several times as I spoke to you this evening, ye that win souls are wise. Where do we find this wise or this wisdom? By the Holy Ghost. And we find that in the nine spirits of God that we find given unto the church, we find that there is a gift of wisdom. And when we find the exercising of wisdom, we'll find that we have the wisdom and the knowledge when to die and when to go forth and let the attributes of charity and love manifest within our actions and everything that we do. Amen. I hope, brothers and sisters, I said something that could possibly challenge you into the things and into the Word of God, that as we look again for opportunities within our life to exercise a life of godliness and holiness. You see, again, we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace. But then yet, we're saved by grace through faith. And without faith, you cannot have salvation. Without faith, according to the Scriptures, you cannot please God. And without faith, brothers and sisters, if it's impossible to please God and it's impossible to have salvation, then we're going to have to exercise faith within our life. And faith comes by the hearing of the Word. And when we have this faith by the hearing of the Word, then the Bible says that we'll find these works within our life. And without works, our faith is dead. And nowhere does the Scriptures teach us that dead faith will bring salvation. It's a live faith, a quickening faith. He says, again, the first man, Adam, was a living soul, and the second man, Adam, being a quickening spirit. And this faith that is alive through that quickening spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is that Holy Ghost dwells within us, that quickening spirit being made whole, made alive, made real today. So when we find this quickening spirit, faith dwelling within, the kingdom of God within us, the rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being, we find that this refreshing waters of regeneration coming from within, and we find that there's an abundance. There isn't a hoarding up of these things or the gifts of God. There's an abundance for everybody, and we give. You see, the principles of God, brothers or sisters, are giving. And if we want to take and study the Scriptures and hold it in, it prosper you nothing. It won't do anything from you. It becomes stagnant, and it becomes the letter of the law, and it kills. But when the Word comes in and the Word goes forth and the Word flows out of you, it brings a refreshing and a regeneration of your thoughts, of your mind. You see, when you're idle in your mind and you're not about the Father's business, and you haven't committed your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts cannot be established according to the Scriptures unless your works are committed unto God. So as we commit our works unto the Lord, then we find our thoughts established. But when our thoughts are rambling and rolling around, and the evil surmising, and the wrath and the angers and the jealousies and the bitternesses and all of those things, it's because our works have not been committed unto God, and our works are carnal, and our works are after the things that would be of this world, and our works would be after the flesh. And then we find all of the things of the fruits of the flesh being made alive within our lives when we see those things manifesting. Don't fool yourself, brothers and sisters. Don't be ignorant. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Let the Word be real and let the Word be alive. And when you recognize the attributes of Satan within your life, do something about it. Do something about it. Take heed to what the Spirit of God is saying unto the church and say, you know what? This should be offensive to me. The preacher is trying to get my eyes opened up to a manifestation of this dark side of me. You see, we got to rend the veil between the Lord and the Christ. Jesus rend the veil between the Son of Man and the Son of God. And He rended the veil and took the man part to the cross of Calvary. The God part didn't die. You can't kill out God. But it was the man part that died. And you got to rend the veil between your first birth, the manly part, and the second birth, the regenerator or the spirit part, that Christ part, that inner quickening part. And you got to rend the veil. And when you rend the veil of those two and make yourself twain, both Lord and Christ, make yourself twain, both first man and both second man. Make yourself twain, both a living soul and a quickening spirit. When you make yourself twain, then you will find that your enemy, your adversary, is that one of your first birth. And you'll find out that the preacher's not your problem, the companion's not your problem, the spouse isn't your problem, the children isn't your problem, that your problem is the warfare within the members of your own flesh. Who's going to deliver me from this wretched man that I am? A great man of God said, Brother Paul, the apostle, one that wrote 2/3 of this New Testament, he said, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am. You see, he come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew who his enemy was. He didn't make these ones that are fallen away from God or the Pharisees and them to be their enemy. He found out that there was something laying within the members of his flesh. The other ones were just giving place to that same thing being made manifest, but he recognized it within his own life. That's when we become the sons of God, and we recognize the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the revealing of Christ within you, the hope of glory. When we come to the revelation of the Lord, we find Jesus alive today. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revealing of Him within your life today. And when you reveal Him and He's being made alive, then He is going to be about the Father's business. Amen. And there's going to be a mortification to the deeds which would be of the flesh of the first birth once again. You say, well, you speak about that all the time. That's your only word. warfare and your only travail. I'm going to speak about the enemy, the adversaries, as long as he's still alive, as long as you still got breath going in and out your lungs. These are things we need to stir up within that purity of the pure mind, of that inner quickening of Christ, and we got to deal with it until you are fighting and combating against the enemy of that first birth, until you are mortifying those things and killing him out. But when you find him alive and alive and alive, there's still a travail and there's still a warfare that you got to keep on going against him and fighting against him. Where does he live? Where does he get his strength? Where does he dwell? Through the flesh, through carnality, through darkness is where he gets his strength, being that second or that first man of the first birth. He gets his strength through the intellectual mind. You see, when he got strength in the garden was through the intellectual mind, going to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you could take and get a knowledge of good and evil and strengthen up the things which would be in the flesh and find yourself warring against God himself through intellectual. The Bible says that the letter of this word right here killeth, but the spirit bring life. These things weren't put on a written page to kill you, but they most definitely will kill you. More people that read this Bible will be put into hell than people that find life in it, because they receive it to the letter of the law and it killeth, multiplied thousands. It's a wide, broad path to destruction, but a straight, narrow way. Few be there that find it. So you say, what is it then, Brother Rob? Is the word a curse or is it a blessing? It depends on if you receive the blessings of it and curse the outer part of that outer garment of iniquity and let the curse go to him and let him die. So it's going to bring a curse to one and it's going to bring life to another. So what we have to do is learn where the wrath goes and where the judgment goes and where the blessings go. Who are you? Are you there to receive the blessings of God? Are you there? Have you been a deceiver like Jacob and come in with the fleece of the lamb around that you could deceive the Father and receive the blessing? Amen. Did the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ make that possible for you to be able to do such a thing? It's something to consider, something to think about. So the thing is that there was one put out that you can have life, and it was those Jews being put out that you could be that wild tree once again being grafted in by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. After you're grafted in, then you receive the strength from that root and you receive the power to be the sons of God. And then you will find that there will be a day that the others being grafted back in and that they will come in, and there's a change over, brothers and sisters. Just as that tree, when it brings forth fruit, the seed goes within the ground and that one thing dies and it brings forth another life. And as this thing comes forth and the one is being taken off and broke apart, and there's another life that comes up, and that's us to the Gentile church, that we come being no longer Gentiles but being spirit Jews, being again drafted in, or we say one being adopted in. And we find that in this adoption that we become the heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, and we're being caught up to the throne in a daily transformation of mind, spirit, being caught up once together forever. And then we'll find the third part happening when we say the transfiguration to wit the redemption of the body. And when we find the third pool or the third perspective of witting the redemption of the body, we'll find that this body being caught up into the throne of God, and it is no longer mortal, but it becomes immortal, no longer telestial, comes celestial. And that is the completion or the finality of the transology or the work of God, when we say the translation of the spirit, transformation of the mind, and the transfiguration to the body. So we say when we see the fullness of this, then it goes back to the Jew, and it's the end of the days to the Gentiles, and it goes back to the Jew. And when it goes back to the Jew, the receiving of the Jew will be life from the dead, which we come forth from the dead, being caught up into the throne of God and through around the throne of God. And we have this opportunity to go to and from as of spirit, as the Lord Jesus goes to and fro, or as we find even Satan himself having the power to go to and fro while the blood was on the mercy seat, but only to the second heaven, being cast out of the third heaven. But we will have this opportunity as being spirit beings, being spirit flesh, have the opportunity from the New Jerusalem, and we find of dwelling with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise going back to the natural Jew with a natural promise of a natural inheritance, being earthly bound, walking among the earth, even though the curse of death will be something that will be done away with. It will come where man will live longer than that God day, or we say longer than 1,000 years. And we'll find the fulfillment of that thing, and then after that, here Satan after that day of the Lord, or we say 1,000 years, or we say the millennium or the 1,000-year reign, then there will be where Satan be released for a season to come back. We know that there will the ones that will have the blessing, just as today in this time, we know that there's people walking in under the blood of the Lord Jesus and they're in the blessings of the blood. And by the blessings of the blood there, by the blood being on the mercy seat or on the atonement, the people that are walking in the reign of God and they've got life granted unto them, even though they're wretched, they're immoral, they're sinners. Where before the blood was on the mercy seat, they would have been taken and put to death or stoned to death. But because of the grace of God, they live now. So we find that during this 1,000-year reign, even though there's a dispensational change and a dimensional change over, one from the elect going from we being the spirit Jew back to the natural Jew, and we find that the election changed over, and we find them there going through the tribulation period, and we find them at, with all of the things that are going to take place and happen within there, there's still going to be a grace, even though the grace is gone and the blood's off the mercy seat, but now we're going to a natural dimension because of this death held back, even where they cry out for the rocks to come upon them. And even though that's going to be held back in a different way, it's going to be held back to them, and they will live even to be that 1,000 years. But when Gog and Magog, or we say that Satan is put back out for that season, for him to deceive, there's going to be some that are deceived, and they will be taken with him and cast into the lake of fire. This is when the resurrection of death and hell at the end of the 1,000-year reign will be all taken at that point of time and cast into the lake of fire. So we find there again, the Bible says if they don't come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord, that there will be no rain on their crops. So we find judgment even going through that time, which when we parallel it back over to us as the spirit Jew, we find judgments that come to us right now because judgment begins in the house of God and God brings judgments to each and every one of us. And that is because he loves us and it's the blessings of God because he chastens them that he loves and the judgment begins in the house of God and some men's sins go before and some after. So we're thankful to God that the things that we would do would be considered as a trespass, not imputed as sin, and it goes before that we live now, that we could stand before God for those things now. And if they come after, that means you'll go along through life and everything seems to be okay. You'll feel the reign of God. You'll come down and you could raise your hands and you could cry and you could shout and do all those things. But when the blood comes off the mercy seat, the expose of the sons of perdition, and you'll be standing there within the darkness of your intellectual mind and finding that the light of the grace of God that was with you, that where you walked along, it was taken away and you were there within darkness. And the only thing that could bring forth light is something that projects light. And if you are full of the Holy Ghost, then you are one that projects the light of the good news of the gospel. And even though that you may reflect those things while the sun is shining, but when that sun is pulled back and pulled out, then you will find standing in your intellectual darkness. And you will find that the light is gone and you're standing there in gross darkness. And again, it's the expose or the manifestation of the son of perdition. And then you will find yourself being judged as according to the scriptures and to the word of God. And they say, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. He said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. And as those demonic spirits of death and of hell come and grasp onto your ankles and dragging you into the eternal abyss of hell. And as you're clawing your way to stop your way, there was nothing that could be done for you at that time. I don't care what the Catholics say, there's no purgatory. There's no another chance. There's no place that they could come and pay the priest to get you out of there. You are eternally damned and cut off from God. And there's people in the earth today that have already received that because the Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots, and they will never see good when good comes. They will never hear the things of God, and when the word of God is preached, they'll never perceive, they'll never understand because they do not have ears to hear when good comes. Amen. And just pray that you don't know anybody in that sort or that kind of condition, even though the world is full of them. Religious people, religious snakes, vipers and hypocrites full of dead men's bones, whitewashed sepulchres. The world is full of them, brothers and sisters. But pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of understanding. Pray that He would grant unto you the spirit of revelation, that these things could be revealed and made known of who you are in Him, and really what His blood and the grace and the things that were done for you, that you could be about the Father's business. Amen. Let's all stand.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Reno Grove, just off Highway 62 in Orchville. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.